The following was recorded at a Burger King drive-thru at breakfast.
Good morning. Welcome to Burger King.
Hey, Sweet Pea. I'm going to get the 2 for $4 bacon, egg, and cheese for sandwich, dude.
Well, I've never heard that before.
What, Sweet Pea?
No, the way you pronounce croissant.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. You love it, or oh, my, just give me my breakfast.
Piled high with thick-cut bacon or savory sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted cheese. Get 2 croissant breakfast sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. And try them with our smooth roast, Seattle's best coffee. Limited time only. Price and participation vary.
Story-worthy media, the best in story-driven content.
Hey, this is Travis Clark, and you're listening to Story-worthy.
Welcome to the Story Worthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Story Worthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Chuck E. Cheese at 3800 William Penn Highway in Monroeville, Pennsylvania.
Oh my gosh, Hannes, that was not my Chuck E. Cheese, because when I grew up in the Stone Ages, they didn't even have Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
But I do know where that is in my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes. Is Monroeville anywhere near the...
Monroeville is right outside of downtown Pittsburgh.
Okay.
It's like a suburb. You have to go through the Squirrel Hill Tunnels. Of course, everybody knows this.
That sounds dirty.
You know?
Would you like to go through the Squirrelville tunnels tonight, honey?
Squirrel Hill, Hannes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Squirrel Hill.
Get it right. Listen, this is interesting that you should say that, because our guest tonight, and you're talking about Chuck E. Cheese, because the title of our show tonight, of course, is The Games Children Play.
Yes.
But our guest tonight, I know for a fact, Travis Clark, he went to school at Carnegie Mellon University.
Ooh,
a very high-end,
I had no idea.
Expensive, exclusive school for theater.
Yes, exactly. In Pittsburgh.
A period of time. I'm not going to say graduated, because he didn't.
I went to the University of Wisconsin for a period of time. I went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, which is a separate campus, for a period of time.
Yeah.
And,
well, listen,
yeah.
All knowledge is good. It's not like, you know,
I learned more from books than I ever learned in college. I can remember literally maybe 3 things I actually learned in college. I remember the
what
first.
What were those 3 things?
Remember, I've told this story before about how I the first time I ever really did anything approaching stand up was in a humor and literature class. And it was like, you know, reading like from the 1800s stuff that now is like horrifying and racist, but at the time was wacky humor.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I was like, well, I'm not going to sit down and write a paper, so I'll do an oral presentation, which consisted entirely of me being in a lecture hall doing what amounted to stand-up.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that I ever really did stand-up. And frankly, it just illustrates in my mind, looking back, I should have just skipped college entirely and come to Los Angeles then.
But you can't – that's ridiculous to think that way, Hannes, because everything happens for a reason. And had you not gone to college, you might not have ever had that opportunity to stand in front of anybody. Because when you tell somebody to go do stand-up, I mean, that is like – speaking in front of the public is one of the – you know, hardest things that people can do.
We're like the people who, it's harder for us to talk to people individually and have some sort of earnest, heartfelt, emotional conversation.
Speak than for it yourself. Is.
Okay,
for
me.
For
but
you.
It's like,
but
you know.
But you're more a comedian. I'm not a comedian.
Finally, the breakthrough. 25 years. I've been waiting to hear those words.
You know, and I know that our show Storyworthy has been on the air for 5 years, but
in podcasting years,
I've decided it's really 5 times 5. So you can say 25 years.
That's true. In podcasting years, it's like we started in the Mesopotamic era. What I just said was complete and utter bullshit, and please do not edit it out. I want to be caught in my own web of lies of pretending. See, had I graduated college, I might actually know how to pronounce these epochs.
Mm.
You heard me. Epochs.
Okay, the episode title tonight, Hannes, is not college at all.
It's the games,
it's the games children play. And I would like to share a ridiculous thing I did when I was a teenager, 13, 14, I don't know.
Yeah.
Me and Kimmy Eddie, we used
Kimmy Eddie, that bitch figures in a lot of your bad stories.
she owes me money.
Steal a hamster, is that right?
Well, you know what? I was the decision maker on stealing that hamster from Woolworths, but I blamed it on Kimmy Eddie. But now, 40 years later, I'm going to give that up. There.
Wow.
I'm
wow.
not funny. And
you're still
going to
go on Facebook and be like, Kimmy Eddie, you know what you did.
You know exactly what you did. Okay, listen, the games children play. We would go into the kitchen. You know, it was always about like fooling around in the kitchen and making crazy recipes and just being incredibly silly, silly, funny,
I'd
silly
like to
girls.
Point out to the 20-year-olds listening that this is what people used to have to do for entertainment.
Right.
Play they didn't have
food.
An iPad, and they weren't busting monsters or crushing candy.
Right.
You were actually like, let's go make a mess in the kitchen.
So we would start with a cake mix, and we'd make the cake regular, but then we would add things to the cake, like grass. You know what I mean? Like clippings, like bugs from the windowsill, like detergent from under the sink, like laundry detergent. And one time we, and I can't even believe I'm going to admit this, but the fact that I'm sure the statute of limitations is far gone.
Yeah.
We put ammonia in this cake. And then what we would do is then we would decorate the cake beautifully or, you know, as best we could with icing. So the top is real. The inside is messed up. And we took this cake to a girl's birthday party. Jamie Bell. And then Jamie Bell got sick. And then the mother was screaming, what did you put in that cake? And it was a nightmare and it was terrible and it was sad. And
I think I
can
speak for all of us listening.
Go ahead.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I was 13.
No, that's not Nixie. Other 13-year-olds were not putting ammonia in cakes or grass or gravel. No one ever did this but you in the history of mankind. I've never heard of a single person who's like, you know what we used to do for fun? We'd make a cake, but we'd put crazy stuff that shouldn't be cakes in it.
Listen, the fact of the matter is...
Urine.
These are... No,
human fingers.
We're not that crazy. Come on now. Listen, games children play. These are some of the stupid things I did. And then the other thing that we used to do is we would call businesses and have things ordered to other people's houses.
Well, like, that sounds more like what other
but
people
But we
would
wouldn't
do.
Just do like pizzas or birthday cakes. We would order heavy machinery to be delivered to Kimmy Temple's house next door so that when we got home from school, we would see them like backing in a forklift and we would laugh and laugh and laugh.
I'm
you
gonna,
have to admit,
I'm gonna
that's
put,
pretty fucking funny.
Well, what I find funny is like that anybody heard a 14-year-old girl on the phone and went, well, this is obviously a legitimate order. It's like, who are these morons? And we're like, you don't have to pay us. We'll just show up with it.
In the early 80s, there was, and I'm not saying less fraud, but the phone was like an important tool, right? The landline.
Yeah.
So you would call. You know, it was very, you know, like even if I'd call your house, I'd be like, hey, is Hannes home? Can I talk to Hannes? You know what I mean? Oh, who is this, please? There was a whole procedure.
By the way, let's role play. Let's say you call me right now.
Okay. Hello?
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 Listen, don't
no,
call
no, you're supposed to
don't
go,
call during the dinner
ask
hour.
Ask me if Hannes is there.
Is Hannes there?
¿Qué?
Is Hannes
¿Dónde
there?
¿Dónde está?
¿Qué hora es? Ladies and gentlemen.
Click. There we go.
We've
That's
got a
it.
Great
Never admitting who I am on the phone. Don't call me, you fuck.
All right, you guys, we have a great storyteller for you here tonight, Travis Clark. But before he comes on and tells his story, I got to tell you, folks, if you want to support the Storyworthy podcast, here's what you do.
Yeah, this is no game, people.
We got a new thing. It's called an emailing list.
What?
Well, maybe you just say mailing list.
You call them mailing list, which I find hilarious that everything's coming back.
It's via...
Vinyl is coming back.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And everything, it's like, we could have just, you know, newspapers are going... You know, hipsters now want to buy newspapers.
Yeah.
Physical newspapers and read them.
I see.
We could have just skipped where it was all going to go away because it's not going away. It's
back.
So
okay.
This we have a mailing list. Click on, there's a very, you go to storywiththepodcast.com. You click on the mailing list banner,
and
you
then,
sign
boom,
up.
And then, boom, every
That's
Monday
it.
Morning, I'm going to send you a very short email. I'm
you
not
will
gonna
not
waste
be
your
bothered.
Time. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm just going to send you a quick little thing about what's going on. There'll be nothing important in the letter, nothing touching.
No behind the scenes
Well, no,
of
there'll be some
Storyworthy.
Behind the scenes. I mean, there's got to be something.
Right, of us staring at each other.
Here's what you can
waiting
do,
waiting for the guest to show up.
You can follow
in a comfortable
us
silence.
At Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at Storyworthy and, of course, on Twitter at Storyworthy.
Right.
And here's something you can do. Buy my book.
Wow.
Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life.
A
it's
physical
in my
book.
Left hand. I got to tell you, Hannes, recently I've been looking at my book.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I've been thinking, what did I write, a pamphlet? It's so small.
It's a novella.
And when people say
it's
to me, Christine, I loved your book so much, I read it in one sitting. In one hand, I think like, oh, well, they love my book. They couldn't stop reading it. And on the other hand, I think, well, that's just because they had like a one bowel movement.
By the
movement.
Way, half those people said, I read it in one shitting, and you didn't understand. Exactly. It is a perfect back-of-the-toilet book. You know, remember that scene in Breaking Bad where Hank goes in and he sits on the toilet.
Oh my gosh, and he sees the reads author.
Blades
yeah.
of Grass.
Oh my gosh.
By Walt Whitman. It's like, this is a good,
yeah.
this will absorb fecal matter and entertain your guests.
No, wait.
Because you can read one of these essays in the
right.
time it takes you.
That's right.
To, you know, dump out the Chuck E. Cheese you ate earlier today.
Oh my gosh. All right, you guys, head on over to storyworthymedia.com or storyworthypodcast.com, and that would be fantastic. Okay, you guys, wherever you are, stick around because our guest tonight, Travis Clark, is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have Rabbi Sherry Hirsch, and I'll be talking about the impact we make.
That is next time on Storyworthy.
Hey, Hannes, guess what we have now?
What?
We have a mailing list.
Wow, is it 1840?
Listen, this is great. Every Monday morning, I'm sending our friends and fans out a very short email. It's not a long email.
No, not one of these extraordinary, like, Christmas newsletters where
it's all
the information. It's just what you need to know.
There's not going to be anything about my family. I'm not going to be touchy-feely. It's going to be just to the point. Who's the guest that week and what's coming up next week?
Right. I like how this has all come back now, like vinyls coming back, email, you know.
Letters.
Newsletters are coming back, and a mailing list is fantastic.
All right. Well, we're doing it. So you can head on over to storyworthypodcast.com or storyworthymedia.com and click on the mailing list button and then join our mailing list.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
This is Margo Lightman, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We have left the Chuck E. Cheese and gone to Kimmy Eddie's house. And we are demanding that Kimmy, come out.
Let's go
come
down
out,
to
you
the
horrible bitch.
And drink the warm Stroh's beer. I can still taste warm Stroh's beer. Then we would listen to Rod Stewart, Hot Legs, very loudly in the driveway. And that was a day. That was a good day.
Wait a minute, Hot Legs. I don't remember that song.
Hot Legs, scream and shout. Come on, maybe. Hot legs. Come on, Hannes.
I don't recognize that song
honey.
At all. Oh, that I kind of recognize.
Ladies and gentlemen, Travis
Clark. She's got legs.
Here.
She knows how to use them. That I know.
No, that's ZZ Top.
I know.
By the way, our guest tonight, Travis Clark, his beard has gone from ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't recognize you from the pictures I saw.
Yeah.
And then
you
he's
look
gone
like,
clean shaven.
You look like Sons of Anarchy, and you've gone to Breaking Bad.
Yes, I have. That's 100% correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you
I
guys.
Like to, he's got I like pomade to, yeah. in his hair. He's like, got, not product, yeah. he's got pomade. He's
I style
got,
myself after shows no longer in production. It's the only way I dress.
I've recently been watching What's My Line, and I've got a secret reruns from the 50s.
Travis Clark is here right now. He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and occasionally a musician.
That's true.
Now, as a writer, Travis has written for Universal Cartoon Studios, Disney, TBS, and VH1, and he's appeared on episodes of CSI and Cold Case. He's kind of one of these actors, Hannes, that you've seen him, but you don't know where. It's
yeah,
like the everyman.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, he's like the tall man who appears
yeah.
in crime photos.
He's also done some clowning, and he's been featured in cartoons.
Oh, my God, he is a criminal.
And he's even done some live puppet shows, so he's like all over the board.
Oh, my God, we need to call the FBI right now.
He co-hosts a weekly podcast with his wife, Brandy. It's called Tiny Odd Conversations, and you can find him at Travis.
Now, is this a real wife, or is this an inflatable doll?
I think it's a wife.
Okay.
I've listened to the show. Yep. She sounds quite alive.
Yep.
Okay.
You can find him at TravisClarkComedy.com and on Twitter at ThatGuyTravis. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Travis Clark.
Thank you, guys. I had a piece of cake from the green room. I don't feel so good now. I hope that's... So I'm going to tell you guys this story about when I was a kid. I moved to Los Angeles when I was 5 years old from Georgia because I had no say in the matter. No one asked me what my opinion was. My dad decided I want to go move to California, and he moved out here for 6 months to check it out to see if it was what he wanted. 6 months later, he phoned back, said, yeah, this is what I want. So my mom and a family friend and myself loaded up a U-Haul with everything that we owned, and we drove from Georgia to California. And it took what felt like the entire summer because we were very poor and we could not afford a good U-Haul. So we got the cheapest U-Haul we could, which had a governor on it, and it could not go faster than 40 miles an hour. Add in the fact all the stuff we had and the fact that we were towing my mom's car. By the way, we weren't really towing it because no one knew that we should not have it in park. We dragged it across the country. It took the better part of August to leave Georgia and get to California. Now, I did not want to go, because I was five and Georgia was my world. That's all I needed to know was there. It's not that I loved Georgia so much. It was just, I have a school, I have friends, I got my mama. Why would I leave? Why would I leave? But I'm in the car and we get there, and at like 5 a.m, I pull into the San Fernando Valley into North Hollywood, and I see the apartment that's going to be my new home. It has a weird brown carpet. It's a one bedroom. It has a lava rock fireplace in it. And my dad has been living in it for six months with all of his possessions that he brought with him, which included a sleeping bag, an ice chest, an alarm clock, and a bottle of Pert Plus. And that is the end of the list. That is it. So we move into the apartment, and within a few weeks, I start school. And within a month and a half, I have my sixth birthday. And I was very fortunate that I had a birthday party, and my two best friends in California at the time came to my birthday party. My mom and my dad. I did not have any friends. It was a terrible birthday party. It was not good. So I said, you know what I need to do? I need to try harder at school. I need to make some friends. I need to meet some actual kids. I went to a small school that had a very small, you know, amount of kids in it. And of that small pool to pull from, very few wanted to be friends with the new kid who talked funny. Like it was, you know, y'all want to hang out? Like, no one wanted to hang out with me. Except for one kid, Charlie. Charlie was the only kid who showed any interest in spending time with me. And if I'm honest, I did not really like Charlie. But I liked that Charlie liked me. So I went, good enough, we're friends. That'll be fine. And as I got older, that was actually how I dated as well. I was like, oh, you like me? Cool. We'll do it till you're tired of it. So Charlie and I become friends. Charlie was a weird kid. He was always jumping out of trees and breaking his arm and not really the first choice I would want as a friend, but he was my only friend. Flash forward 2 years. I'm now a little bit older. We're in third grade. I have a few more friends, but Charlie's the main guy I hang out with because he has gotten, for a Christmas present, the coolest toy I have ever seen. A handheld version of the arcade game Defender. Now, when I was a kid, this was pre-Nintendo. Nintendo came out like when I was a teenager. So there were no like tiny handheld, like handheld's kind of a misnomer. It's actually the size of like a hardcover novel. It's huge. It took like 9D batteries just to power the thing up. And it looked nothing like the arcade game. It was just little blue pixels on a purple plastic screen. But I loved it. It was the coolest thing. If you don't know Defender, Defender's a game where you fly around a rocket ship, you shoot aliens, and you save people. It's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be the defender. Turns out, not a viable career choice. So I would try and play this game as much as I could, and I wanted one of these for myself, but they were very expensive. So I would go to my parents, and I'd say, Mom, Dad, can I have a handheld version of the arcade game Defender? And they would say, we do not have an expendable income. We can't even afford a dining table. Why would we buy something frivolous? And I said, I am a child. I understood table. I don't know what you just said to me. So I didn't have it. But I would try and find ways to play it when Charlie would let me. And it turns out Charlie was real into just letting me get a taste of the game, never really playing it, just getting to play one guy. I think you get like 5 guys when you play the game, but I would only get to play one guy, and I'd have to give him something every time. Every time during recess, he'd bring the game to school, and then he would want probably my dessert. I think I gave him every dessert in third grade just so I could play the game. And I loved it, and I thought about it, and I loved it more. I never got tired of it. I loved it in a way that, as an adult, I now know is called obsessive compulsive. All I wanted was this thing. Summer came along, and I didn't really see kids outside of school during the summer. Sometimes I would go back to Georgia. Sometimes I would do stuff with my family, but I wouldn't normally see my friends during summer. So it's a few weeks before school's about to start again, and the phone rings, and my mom answers, and she goes, oh, hi. Yeah, that sounds great. Let me check with them. And she goes to me. She says, Travis, it's Charlie's mom. Charlie wants to know if you want to come over and spend the night. Truthfully, no, I did not. I did not like Charlie's house. It was weird. The food was terrible, and it smelled like shoe polish and spaghetti sauce. It was not my favorite place. But I knew that Defender game was there, so I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's do that. Let's go to Charlie's house. So I go into my room. I pack my little boy things in my little boy backpack. I jump in my dad's Jeep, and he drives me over to Charlie's house. And I'm so excited that as we pull into Charlie's driveway, I don't even wait for the car to stop. I jump out and just start running. And he goes, well, bye. I'll be back to pick you up tomorrow. I said, whatever, dude. And I just ran inside. And there was Charlie waiting for me, just sitting cross-legged, waiting for me. And he goes, cool, you're here. We're going exploring. And I went, no, we're going to play Defender. He said, no, we're going exploring. So I dropped my stuff. We ran through an abandoned school. We got chased by a gang of kids on roller skates. We found shopping carts that we raced down a hill. I'm surprised we lived through that. Soon we were in trees and we were jumping out of trees. I think we threw a ball around. Now it's getting dark. We have to go back home. We eat a weird dinner with his weird folks. We watch a movie that feels like it was Mad Max, but it wasn't. And then now all the thing I know is it's like 9 o'clock and we have to go to bed. And I'm tired. Like, I had a busy day. I didn't hate it, but it's not what I came there for. So I was like, okay. So Charlie's dad takes us back to his room, puts us down. He goes, okay, kids, go to bed. He turns off the light, shuts the door. I'm tired. I'm worn out. So I lay down. I'm about to nod off to sleep when Charlie breaks the silence with my favorite question. Hey, Travis, you want to play a game of Defender? I immediately shoot up because we both know the answer is yes, because the answer's never been no. So I say, you know I do. He goes, cool. You want to play 30 games of Defender in a row? I said, absolutely. This was an unprecedented offer. Nothing like this had been offered to me before. And he said, okay, what are you willing to give me for it? I knew this was going to happen. I've had this exchange before. In fact, I planned for it. Unbeknownst to my parents, I took 4 Twinkies from the cabinet, shoved them in my backpack, and was ready to wheel and deal for my chance to play Defender. So I go, oh, I think I got something you'll like. And I open up my backpack. I pull out 4 Twinkies. And he goes, no, I'm going to need something a little more than that. We're talking 30 games. And I went, I don't know. What do you want? And he goes, let's see if we can figure something out, is what he says. But then his suggestion was so specific, he'd clearly already thought of it. He said, hey, how about this? Let's try this. How about I take my pants off, you take your pants off, you get on top of me, and you hump my wiener. And I said, what? He said, yeah, you get on top of me and you hump my wiener. Every time you hump my wiener, you earn a game of Defender. You do it 30 times, you get 30 games. And I said, but like in a row, right? Like you're not going to take it away from me. And he went, no, like in a row, unstopped. And I said, okie doke. And without thinking, I had my pants off. I got on top of him. And as fast as I could, I went 1, 2, 3, 30. And I was done. And I pulled up my pants. And he goes, what was that? I said, I don't know. I didn't enjoy it either. And I grabbed the game and I just start playing. Charlie is mad. This did not go the way Charlie planned. And I'm just sitting there in the corner with my back to him playing Defender, just going, I'm the Defender. I'm the Defender, trying not to think about what just happened. I'm starting my second of a theoretical 30-game streak when Charlie breaks the silence again and goes, hey, Travis, how would you like to own that Defender game? I put the game down. I just turn around. And I go, what do you want, man? What do you want? I get what's going on here. What do you want? And he goes, kind of like before, but a little different. I take my pants off. You take your pants off. I get down on all fours, you get behind me, and then you put your wiener between my butt cheeks like a hot dog. And I said, why? He said, because I think it'll feel good. And I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, move it around for a while. And that's when I said, for how long? And he answered with the creepiest thing anyone has ever said to me, until I say stop. And then he lit a cigarette and flicked it into the night. He didn't, but I feel like that's what he should have done in that moment. And I said, huh. And I looked at the game, and I looked back at him, and I looked at the game, and I said, but if I do this, I get to keep the Defender game. He says, it will be yours. He doesn't finish the S on yours. My pants are off. I get behind him. I do as he's requested. Now, as an adult, I realize he wanted me to thrust back and forth. As a kid, I had no idea. So I start kind of dancing side to side, like just back and forth with my shimmying my wrists as I go. If anyone's interested, still how I do it. So not what he wanted. In fact, he turned around and looked at me and went, okay, you can stop. Which, if I'm honest, that hurt my feelings. That hurt my feelings. Look, I didn't want to do this, but I wanted to do a good job. I have a work ethic. You give me a job, it may not be what I want, but I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I pull up my pants. He pulls up his pants. It's awkward. It's weird. We're kind of just quiet. He picks up the game, and he hands it to me, and he goes, here. And as I take it, I go, oh, no. because now my shame has a form. Now I'm holding this embarrassment in my hand, and I know what I did to do this. I don't want the game. I don't even want to be there. I just go, you know what, man? I'm just going to go to sleep. And I lay down, and I shut my eyes, and I will myself to sleep, and I wake up super early in the morning, and on the pillow next to me is the Defender game practically staring me in the face as if to say, remember me? Remember what I truly cost? So I want to go home. I pack up my things. Charlie is still asleep, or at least pretending to be. I go outside. I sit in the driveway. I wait for my dad to pull up. My dad pulls up and sees me sitting there. This never happens. He always has to come, like, grab me from someplace. So he's like, you ready to go? And I went, yep. And I threw my backpack in the back seat, jumped in, clicked in my seatbelt, and said, okay to go, and gave my dad the symbol of okay to go, which is twirling the finger, which he knows because he is a Vietnam vet. So we start to back out. And as we are almost out of the driveway, Charlie comes running out of the house, waving the Defender game over his head, saying, Travis, don't forget your Defender game. Your Defender game. My dad hears this. He's heard me talk about this toy for almost a year. He knows I don't own it. So he turns to me and he says, your Defender game. That's what he said. But what I heard was, did you fuck that little boy?
Oh my God.
So I said, not my game. It's not mine. You keep it, Charlie. You keep it. Yeah, I'm good. And we pull away. I never tell my dad what happened. Charlie ends up going to a different school next year. I never see Charlie again. I never got the game. But I tell this story for two reasons. The first is you need to know your self-worth. Don't sell yourself out for something trivial. Don't do something for something like a video game. Always hold out for the next offer. Negotiate. You're going to get something better. Trust me, especially if it's weird butt stuff. I could have gotten an entire Atari system. Secondly, and most importantly, if you have kids or if you take care of children, buy them the toys they want. You don't want to know what they're willing to do to get them. And sometimes it takes 32 years to talk about it.
Wait, how old were you again, Travis?
I was 8 at the time.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I can ever let my child go out of my sight again.
No, you can, because you have a daughter. Here's the thing. I had an inkling of where this story was going.
I figured, yeah.
Christine and Maria, when you got to the big reveal, we're like, this can't be where the story's going, because you
had a different
never
experience.
Hang around with boys. You know how you think men are disgusting?
No, I never said that. What do you mean?
You should think men are disgusting.
I see.
Men are disgusting. Boys are larval, disgusting men.
They're disgusting in training.
It's not that every man, every boy in the world wants to do butt stuff, or every boy, but little boys have, like, weird urges, and they have no fucking idea what's going on. And it will involve them fucking the couch.
Mm-hmm.
It will involve them fucking the refrigerator.
So, Hannes, you know, we have a little mutual friend, and he's 10 years old. So do you think this is going on in his life?
Not necessarily this.
Right.
Extreme,
not necessarily
but it's
this,
like,
but, yeah.
He's got, like, sexual thoughts. He doesn't know what they are.
Yeah.
Yet.
But
he doesn't know
so
what they...
Charlie was how old, Travis?
He was the same age.
He was eight.
He was 8 also, yeah.
I can't even believe this. And now when your father hears the story now, because of course he's heard it.
Yeah, that was...
what does he say?
That was some bad planning on my part. Now,
yeah.
My dad is also a comic, and we...
And a Vietnam vet,
and a Vietnam
so he can
vet.
Kill people.
Yeah, exactly.
Your father is Lenny Clark.
Yes.
Blake
Clark.
Blake Clark. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. No, I...
Yeah,
I
your father's up. Blake Clark.
Who people have seen a million
on,
times.
Yeah.
Dozens,
they may
dozens,
know his name.
Dozens.
If they don't know his name, they recognize his face. And
well, they know his voice. He talks a lot like...
His big thing was Home Improvement. He was the hardware store guy. That
right.
was a big thing. And then also, he was Slinky the dog. The voice.
Slinky the dog. Yeah, and he's also... And he's a lot of Adam Sandler movies. And he was on one of my favorite episodes of Community.
Yeah.
Where he plays... He was the PE teacher, except that he taught billiards.
Yeah,
oh, that's
and then
funny.
He and Joel McHale
had a strip
get into a completely naked billiards game to prove who's more manly in front
oh,
of the whole school.
Really funny
and hilarious. Anyhow,
okay,
so
your
dad
is Blake Clark.
Yeah,
had he learned this at the time, might have slaughtered that whole family.
Sure, and I should point out, I'm not messed up by this story. Like, this happened. It's a thing that happened. I don't feel bad about it. That's why I talk about it.
Yeah.
And when I started talking about it, I figured I should probably let my dad know about it. And I told him, and then he seemed to have forgotten about it. Then we were performing together in Las Vegas towards the end of last year.
Wow, that must be. I got questions about that.
Okay.
But go ahead. Later, finish it with the butt stuff.
Well, here, what I decided to do was I was like, hey, you know, I tell this story. I would love to do it on this show. And in hindsight, like, what a stupid way to bring your father to stage. Like, here's the time you took me to like a semi-molestation and now my dad, you know, like, yeah. not a good way to introduce anybody right. to the audience. But I tried to explain it to him. I was like, hey, I'm going to tell that story. And he's like, yeah, it's your time. Do what you want. I was like, no, it's the embarrassing one. He goes, yeah, sure, whatever. So I don't know if I miscommunicated. I don't know if he missed it. Either way.
He's your father. Yeah. He's not listening to
sure.
you.
Sure. That's very true. That's very
what's
true.
Happening. He stopped listening to you 40 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So when I go up, I tell the story. He has to follow it. He doesn't enjoy it. It causes a bit of tension between us.
What does he say when he gets on stage?
What the fuck? For like 10 minutes is all he does.
That's hilarious. People must have been rolling.
I don't remember. I remember being really like, oh, I think I made a bad choice.
How
old
were
the
you
audience
when you
enjoyed
this?
Your.
Oh, this was last year. This was the end of last year.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It's not that we weren't talking, but there was some tension. So I went on the road for a while
yeah.
and didn't see my dad for a bit. Then I came back and I celebrated Christmas with my wife. And so my dad is kind of upset about it. We finally like talked about it like a couple of months later, but I basically celebrated Christmas with my wife. My wife and I have this weird tradition where we don't open. It's not weird. It's our tradition is we don't open Christmas presents on Christmas Day. We do it Christmas Eve, but we save one special present for Christmas Day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's that weird. I think I used to do that.
Is that okay? So yeah, it's most people I seem to maybe at least as kids.
Anything
wait till yeah.
involving anal that has to be up
yeah,
for Christmas
true.
Day
yeah.
for the
right.
Lord.
Well, so I'd had that weird experience with my dad. I'd been telling that story. My wife hands me the special Christmas Day present.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming out.
And I happen to have gotten
oh my God.
The Defender Christmas, game.
The Defender game.
That is so fantastic.
Now, here's what's weird.
Yeah.
There's a crack across the screen right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charlie's game
had
a crack right here where I punched it when I got mad.
Wow.
So somehow, through the laws of attraction or luck through eBay, I got exactly the Defender
okay.
game I earned.
Or I hate, I don't want to put a damper on that. It is possible that they were all flawed
it's possible
in
that
exactly
they all, yeah,
the
yeah,
same
yeah,
way
yeah.
and all cracked in the same place.
Okay, so let me ask you, have you looked up Charlie on Facebook?
I haven't. I've heard some stories about him.
Well, why wouldn't you? Let's do it.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to point out, it's like I've heard plenty of weird stories about young boys. This is what's really weird about this is not that there's some sexual component that's completely confusing. It's he's like a Bond villain. The elaborateness of his planning ahead.
I know, right?
Is the part that is most disturbing to me. The fact that he was unsure of his sexuality is like, whatever. But it's like the fact that he could think this all
yeah.
out.
So what did you hear?
It's the
about
crazy
him?
Part.
About
hey, what'd you hear about him? Yeah,
I heard. And I looked him up, and I have not found him on any social media. So I'm going to assume
you know
he's
looking at a prison database, obviously.
Well, I heard he was killed.
Oh,
is what I heard. I heard that
by your father in Las Vegas
yeah, right.
in the desert.
No, I heard he had accidentally killed someone and like in a motor accident.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, but then like the wrong person and revenge was taken.
And they knocked him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, or he raped the person.
Yeah, that
they
seems
sped away
more likely. Yeah.
And then they got into an accident. Here's
wow.
something. I was thinking about the lava rock fireplace.
Uh-huh, sure.
Not a lot good can happen when you're in
no,
that kind of room.
No, it's bad.
That's it like was the rec room. If you have a fireplace made of lava rock, you're like in the game room, the rec room.
Also, in the San Fernando Valley, you don't need a fireplace.
Not
it's
so
like
much.
90 degrees all the time.
Yeah.
It's never not 90.
Here's something. You were talking about how Charlie's house, they had bad food.
Yeah.
And I have an 8-year-old kid. I try so hard to have good food. I mean, I know
from
the value.
From plated.com.
I know the value of having good food around the house in terms of being like the favorite house to go to.
Right. No, it's. I think also, too, when you're a kid and you're going to a house that isn't yours, any food, there's only two kinds of food. It's either better or worse. Because mm-hmm. if it's not what you're used to, if it's not immensely better, you're just going to hate it. You'll be like, this is weird. This is strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say like his folks just put like ketchup on noodles. I
yeah.
feel it's like the food that we
oh,
had
yeah.
there.
No sometimes, wonder the kid was fucked up.
Yeah, we would have just ketchup on bread because we were so poor.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I say, let's play a game right now. If I'll say better or worse and you tell me if it's better or worse.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so Twinkies.
Better or worse than what?
It's just better or worse than your house. You,
oh.
When you were growing up, Twinkies.
Better. I didn't get those often.
Yeah, townhouse crackers.
Better Ritz. I enjoyed those more.
Mm-hmm. A snap pea.
I like snap peas because of the
so
better.
I have those for the kids all the time. Yeah. Edamame.
Wait, we got to think about kid food, though. Okay.
Edamame, this is what I give the kids. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you freaky Hollywood mom.
Here's something that the kids love.
Your daughter is going to eat so many Fritos and drink so much Coca-Cola when she leaves your house.
Yeah.
Because she can't do any of that stuff.
I like to give my daughter, here's what I give my daughter. I give her saltine crackers with butter on the top. That's a good mom.
That's America right
that's
there.
Yeah.
You know what I ate
mom.
For dinner last night? And I'm an old fucking man. Saltines with chunky peanut butter.
Oh, peanut butter's the best.
I'd make little triple cracker sandwiches.
Yeah. Mm. But that was
fantastic.
Your whole dinner?
You know who loved those?
Earlier, I may have had some cereal.
Oh, Hannes.
You know who loved peanut butter and saltine crackers?
Your dad?
Dr. Kevorkian, his favorite meal.
Nice.
Is that right?
Yeah. While he was in prison, it's all he ate.
Yeah.
He would make
if I was in prison, that's all I would eat because I bet that's better than the meatloaf.
Yep.
All right. So let me ask you some questions because your dad, like we talked about, is Blake Clark. So you grow up with your dad, really a famous comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are doing comedy like out of control. I mean, I heard that you do 10 shows a week minimum and you try to do up to 12 or 14 shows a week.
Well, if you're counting open mics and shows.
Of course. Stand-up comedy. Anytime you're performing, I consider, you know.
Sure.
And so it seems so interesting that you have this drive. I mean, just in terms of like, it sounds like your childhood was pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Growing up in the store.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I grew up around...
Except for the occasional...
Occasional weird butt stuff.
Oh,
but I mean, like...
Now that I think of it.
I mean, right? But I mean,
we all have
that.
Part of it's genetic. Part of it, the drive
some of the weird butt stuff is genetic.
Oh,
you just attract
it. No.
Yeah, it's not... you have no control.
Well, tell us about growing up at the comedy store.
It was interesting because I didn't know that other people's parents didn't do that for a living. I didn't know that that wasn't a normal thing. So we would have to do stuff like... finger paint your dad's job or your parents' job, like in school. And I remember this. I wish I could find this. I remember making a finger paint portrait of what I remember the comedy store being. And it's a guy slumped over on a table next to a giant drink with a bunch of ice in it.
Yeah.
And there's a guy on stage with a microphone with his arms out going like, I don't know. And like, that's what
You drew that.
I drew that with my fingers. And that was the only one they didn't put up. Like everybody else got put up on the wall and they're like, no, we're not putting
this
one up.
What school did you go to here in Los Angeles?
I went to a place called St. Paul's, which is a Lutheran school.
Oh, the Lutherans. They love the butt stuff.
They sure do. They sure do.
I wonder why your folks put you in that school. Was it?
I think they weren't religious people. I think it was supposed to be like just better schooling was the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Then the public school system.
Yeah.
And so, if you're you know, of any notoriety in Los Angeles, a lot of those people just put their kids in public school, private school, because it's just easier.
Well, the time, I found out later, my mamma was paying for it the whole time. Like, we were broke.
You mean
my mamma is what a Southern boy will call their grandmother. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have no accent whatsoever now.
Not currently, but if you take me south of the Mason-Dixon, it'll show up. Yeah.
That happens to me. I go back to Milwaukee and suddenly I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know. I heard about this butt stuff that guys are doing, and it's not... I got to go up to the Packer Hall of Fame.
You know, I never slip into the Pittsburgh accent. Never. I never had it.
I love the Pittsburgh accent.
Do you? My mother speaks it really well.
It's just one of those, like, it's such a unique accent.
Yeah.
You don't really hear it that often.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I remember
very regional.
Her ex, who was from Columbus but also had relatives in Pittsburgh, can do it. And I was like, I think I've heard that before, but in some way, I think I've never heard that before with the U's and the D's.
Yin's going to go down there. Careful, spit Slippy out.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You go,
Chrissy's
what?
Out there in L.A.
Yeah.
All right. That must have been weird. So you went to high school. You went to college in Pittsburgh.
I did, yeah.
So did the accent strike you?
Really like accents, and I like to observe them. I'm kind of okay at being a mimic, so I'm okay at, like,
but you could hear it.
Yeah, like, you could hear it, and they would just... I remember the one that really threw me in Pittsburgh was... they would say this all the time. Yins want some salsa, and that's, do you want some salsa?
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
Yins want some salsa on that.
Yeah, yeah, on that, on that.
In that.
On that.
N apostrophe N-A-T.
Jet? No, Jew.
No, Jew. No, Jew. What you wear?
Jew. What? Hey.
You gotta wash the clothes.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. So you're at the comedy store, you're a kid. Now, these were different times. So this would be a time where they could actually bring you into the club. Obviously, you're not 21, but you're a little kid. You put you in the back with a Coke or something, and then you watch the comics.
Yeah, you know who I hung out with?
I want to hear.
I used to hang out with Paulie
Shore.
Paulie Shore,
yeah. And he was a little bit older than
me. He was a little bit older than me, but we realized at one point when I was 7, he was 14, we made 21. So that was like our joke, like, we're allowed to be here because we're 21.
He was on Storyworthy a couple of months ago, and he had a great story about doing stand-up comedy at the Westwood Comedy Club.
Sure.
So would you go over over there as well?
I went to the La Jolla one down in San Diego, and I went to the Hollywood one. I don't think I ever went to the Westwood one.
Yeah.
I don't think, because that one's not around anymore.
No.
It didn't, I don't feel like it didn't
last long.
But
that was during those days.
It was during the, at one point there was like four, there were four comedy stores. There was Las Vegas, Westwood, Hollywood, and.
Yeah, and there were like four improvs.
And
there was like comedy everywhere.
Her group of men, comics, that would perform for her. Did you ever hear the rumor that Mitzi slept with a lot of comics?
I heard only one. I heard really only like Argus Hamilton was like her dude.
Yeah, for years.
Yeah, then that was the
Argus
guy.
Hamilton. But I heard that name in years. The club that I started at in college was started by Bill Kinison, Sam Kinison's brother.
Oh, his brother, right, yeah.
So we had a Carl LeBove and Fred Asparagus and all these comedy store guys. Yeah, God rest his soul. Yeah, all these comedy store people were coming to the middle of Wisconsin, you know, and like, we're like, oh my God. So I'd like, I third hand would hear these stories about people that I'd never met, including people like Argus Hamilton.
Sure.
And Ollie Joe Prater.
I remember Ollie Joe. Yeah. Ollie Joe famously shot a television in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Because he was like, I don't want to watch any more Elvis movies. And he pulled out a gun and shot the television.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so rock and roll, right?
Yeah.
Argus Hamilton's great, Hannes. He's still at the Comedy Store all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very good. Okay, so let me ask you, with all this time you spent at the Comedy Store, do you think it's haunted?
I've heard that story, and my dad did. I convinced him when I was a teenager to do like an America's no, not America's Most Wanted.
Circus of the Stars.
No, what's the Robert Stack's show?
Unexplained Mysteries?
Yeah, Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries.
I convinced my dad to do an episode of Unsolved Mysteries just because at the time it was my favorite show.
Yeah.
And I've heard the stories about it being haunted, and my dad has weird stories about it being haunted.
Yeah. See, I had really weird feelings in the belly room.
Really?
I ran the belly room.
Me
for
too,
a
but
years.
That's just from the comedy I've seen. It's just, you just go, hey.
That's just from the residual cocaine and the shag carpeting.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
The actual decor is haunted. It's
that green room is terrifying.
Green room is,
that's right.
People understand.
Exactly.
It's literally green, but it's like
palm trees.
Green, floral, palm tree, a wallpaper.
And it also feels a bit like a death trap in terms of the fire hazards. When you get upstairs.
There's no easy way out of that place.
There's no
like, if you got to go, it's bad.
You got to get out.
Yeah.
They're going to have a problem. And then the bathrooms are not so
good.
Oh,
I try to, like,
bathrooms are
that's
tricky.
One of the places I go, I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
I will just wait. There's no way.
Yeah, I know. It's tricky. Okay, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay, if we can move on, I want to talk about your podcast, of course.
Sure.
Tiny Odd Conversations. You do this show with your wife.
Right.
Now that, I mean, obviously you're the leader because you're the comic.
Right.
So how did you convince her to do this?
Well, I felt just asking for a divorce was too aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, hey, let's do a podcast together.
Mm. That's bound to lead to it.
Essentially, I was recovering from a back surgery about 4.5 years ago.
Why did you have to have that?
I ruptured and then herniated and then re-ruptured and then re-herniated. I'm actually from like the waist down, like more machine than man.
No kidding.
Yeah, I have an artificial disc. I have like four screws.
Do you go through the metal detectors?
No, 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 no.
I can, but I have a little card to let people know that if I set it off, that there's a reason.
Interesting.
Because I have titanium.
Keep that behind your medical marijuana card.
I do.
Yeah.
It's actually just laminated, just so I can just flip it over. Just go, which one do you need? Which one is it?
Yeah.
I was recovering from that. I couldn't do stand up at the time. I find my wife very entertaining, even though she's not a comic. I think she's very naturally funny.
That's
and
sweet.
I enjoy bantering with her. And so that's what was the main idea behind the show, was like, okay, well, it's like eavesdropping on your neighbors.
Where's
like,
she from?
She's from Palmdale, which she thinks is Los Angeles, which is hilarious to me.
Not
no, it's
Los
not.
Angeles.
It's not. It's the high desert, and it's where...
it's out near Big Bear. Near the 15, right?
It's off the 14, yeah. It's,
the 14.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's like being from Bayonne, New Jersey, and thinking you're from New York City.
Right.
So do you ever have to record a show, and you don't want to record a show? Because it's like, you know, I don't want to do this, and I have to, because there's my wife, and I committed to this.
It's more the other way. Like, she's a little burnt out now. Like, 4.5 years in, she's like, I need a break.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
How many episodes have that?
We just did 198. I think we'll be hitting 200 in the next week or so.
We're on like 320 or 325, because what I did last year for a time on Storyworthy is I wanted to like double down our downloads.
Ooh.
So I started doing two shows a week.
That's it.
And we did that every week for 5 months.
Wow.
And you know what happened, Travis? It backfired.
Really?
Because what happened is it gave people a choice of which show do they want to listen to.
Sure, right.
They didn't really want another hour of us. They now
have
options.
The bastards.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. I mean, if I was going to, you know, if there was a higher dollar amount on this.
See, that was a matter of you projecting, like, you not obsessively, but you like to listen to podcast after podcast after podcast.
That's right.
Most people are not like that.
Or most people I find
there are a lot of podcast fans. I mean, what do you mean?
No, I'm saying, but like won't spend 8 hours of their day listening to
Mark
podcasts.
Mark Maron has 2 shows a week, therefore I listen 2 shows a week. Adam Carolla has 4 or 5 shows a week.
Right.
I listen to 4 or 5. So I was thinking
you
if
have
somebody
a podcast
listened to
on the way other people
listen.
Turn the radio on and have music or to have their iTunes on.
Right.
And some people, you know, many people are not like that. They'll listen to us. They listen to one other thing, that's all they listen to.
Or I find a lot of people do this is they don't listen for like a month and then they just download a bunch and then they
drive
to
Vegas and suddenly
they catch up.
That's
a nice
thing. I love podcasting, don't you?
I love it too.
I think
it's
we're
great.
Like in the golden age of podcasting, maybe.
Well, I think it would have to be because it's only been around for so long.
No, we're in the early. No, this is like early radio.
Yeah,
this
early
is like
radio.
1929
well, now that
radio.
The president went on Mark Maron. I think that has validated the whole thing to another level.
Yes, I think that's true.
I think that's accurate.
That's a good gig.
By the way, Joe Biden is coming in here next week.
Fantastic.
So
Let me ask you something. Why would you leave Los Angeles and go to Pittsburgh to get experience in theater, acting, stand-up, or anything?
Where were you when I was 17? Because that's a great question. That is a great question.
Yeah, but you got to leave town. But see, it's so funny because we were talking to Adam Carolla about this. Did you like that name dropping?
Good one, I dropped that.
That was good because it's like he... You know, I said to him, I love when you talk about living in North Hollywood and having no idea how to break into Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because we were in Pittsburgh and Milwaukee, like, no idea. You were here, but you have to get away.
Yeah, you got
from your parents.
Yeah.
You have to get away.
And I did it, and I went, I could be back where the thing happens, and I have a free place to stay.
Yeah.
This seems like a bad choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the weather alone.
Oh, man. I was there for like a Snowmageddon thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, after.
What year was
after
that?
It was 92 or 93.
Yeah.
After having no winters and just suddenly like 6 feet of snow in an hour.
I remember that. That was 93.
Yeah, 93. Okay.
It was right before the Great Tire Fire in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But that was Snowmageddon, and that was fabulous. It was so much fun because I lived in Shadyside across the street from CMU.
Earlier, when you were talking about Squirrel Hill, I hadn't heard Squirrel Hill and Shadyside.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in forever.
Yeah, and we would go down to Walnut Street, of course, and hang out at Cappy's.
I'd go down to the O. I'd go down to
the O and get a big old thing. What was your favorite sandwich?
I would always get this. I just get the giant thing of fries.
Oh, the fries. I'm thinking of Permanis. I'm sorry.
Well, Permanis, I think I just get a po' boy when I would go there.
Oh, I always got a double egg.
Okay.
But the O, you guys, the O in Pittsburgh is where you get massive amounts of French fries.
I mean, like a dollar. Stupid.
I think that was in a PBS show about hamburgers across the country.
Was it the O?
Yeah.
O
yeah, I remember that.
Absolutely.
It might be on worse bathrooms in America, too, because it was you did not want to go in there.
Worse than the
that
Comedy Store?
Worse. Like, Comedy Store, 4-star rating.
Yeah. No, the Comedy Store is filled with people. Bathrooms are people urinating in the wrong place because they're drunk. A place like that is filled with people dumping in the wrong
place.
That's
true. But at the Comedy Store, you do get to have a cartoon Laurel and Hardy watch you miss
that's
the toilet.
A strange
that's
pretty, thing.
Yeah,
and
that
also,
does.
The hardware is black, and you don't find that often.
Oh,
yeah.
No, it's really much more expensive than white hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, so 70s. It's like it's 1976 and it never stops.
It's never going to.
It's never going to stop. At some point, it will come back around.
Yeah. At some point, they'll be like, who came up with this awesome retro
design? You know,
design?
When I'm watching Match Game 78, after I'm watching What's My Line?
Yeah.
And it's like, you're looking at the clothes and they're like, you're getting a whole wardrobe. And you're like, and they have a picture and you're like, how in the fuck did anybody ever think these clothes were good?
Because,
this is like after the 60s.
It wasn't just the clothes, it was the way they matched them.
Everything was
horrible.
Like
my dad would have checked pants on with a striped shirt. It was the way they actually put the clothes together as well.
Yeah.
It was
the
way they formed the whole outfit.
No one figured out pattern on pattern. Bad choice.
Yeah.
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 Bad choice.
Hey, listen, man, you want to play some Shotgun Story with
me? I would absolutely love to.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
And the wheel landed on fish. Okay. So What I would do on the summers when I wasn't going back to Georgia to see my family, my dad and I would go on huge camping trips, and we would go off to so poorly prepared. My dad would take the top off of his Jeep and be like, well, we're in Southern California. It's not raining here. It's not going to rain wherever we drive. And it rained wherever we went. So we get into like middle of nowhere, Oregon, and we go to a place called Lake Paulina. And I'm, I don't know, I'm like 10 maybe. We decide to go fishing, and we're going to only catch what we're going to eat. That's dinner. And I caught the biggest fish of the day, so much so that I got written up in the local paper. Travis Clark from L.A. got the biggest catch of the day, like a 16-inch rainbow trout, and we cooked it in the pan that night. And that was the first time I was ever like, you know what? I'm not a man yet, but I feel like a fucking man. I caught this. Yeah. My dad cooked it, and that is my story about fish.
All right. That's a perfect story. 58 seconds.
By the way, fish, by the way, one of our, I wrote that down really as a joke. You were like, quick, we need more. And I was like, fine, fucking fish. And we get more good fish stories.
Everybody has a fish story.
Everybody's got a fish story, yeah. Fish story.
And by the way, I'm glad you felt like a man fishing and not, at the, you know, the eight-year-old.
No.
I need to ask you, just getting back to your story, can you now have doggy style sex, or is it too reminiscent of being behind what's his face?
Charlie. Well, I'll tell you this,
Charlie. Oh, wait a minute! I thought your dad's a Vietnam vet, and this kid was named Charlie. Uh-huh. Oh my God, I missed that completely.
Right,
Charlie. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Charlie was in more than just the trees.
Yes.
Basically. The unfun answer is because of my back. No, I can't do that because of my back problems. It's just too much torque.
Oh, so it's all you. It's
how
all
did you
cowgirl.
Originally hurt your back?
Oh, I thought it would be really great to try and squat like 1,000 pounds.
Oh my
and
God.
Then it turns out it was a horrible idea.
You know, I have a buddy who, like 35 years old, decided to go skateboarding without a helmet, without a whatever, and broke his hip.
Yep.
You know, just skateboarding. It's like, you know what? Sometimes you got to let it go.
Yeah, sometimes you go, you know what?
And that's the oldest possible sounding injury.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You hurt
yeah.
your back. Okay.
Right.
But it's bad, obviously. But I broke my hip makes you sound 1,000 years old, no matter how old you are.
You might as well move into the retirement home after that because you have to be supervised. You can't, you can't be on your,
Well, listen, thank you so much for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
And you guys out there, listen to Tiny Odd Conversations. It's a great show.
Thank
you. I really enjoy it. And tell your wife I said so as well.
I will.
All right, cool. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Maria Spertolozzi. I think the shade of blue in your hair now, I think you've nailed it. I really like it. It's soft.
There's a little purple on the top. There's some natural brown.
I like it.
These kids today.
And on behalf of course, John Thomas Griffith, you know, he wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
You know what I had to do to get to write him to write that song? You don't know what I've done.
And on behalf, that's why it's called Follow Me, you know, not Follow You.
Yes, exactly. I followed him, baby.
And on behalf of our
story. I followed him to Brown Town.
And of course, on behalf of our storyteller tonight. Well, Travis Clark brought it up.
I got it. It's my fault.
He crossed the line.
It's my fault.
By the way, I like how bad you were at it, where you're shimmying back and forth. It's like never even occurred to you.
No.
He was 8.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I'm saying.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Travis Clark. Thanks again, man.
Thank you, guys. It was fun.
And of course, on behalf of you, Hannah Spinney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me. takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
On Monday, Josh Leibarger made his status
Case of the Mondays,
followed by a frowny face. It got one like and five comments, including dislike. Well, Josh, Geico also wants to make a comment to turn that emoji's frown upside down. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. With all that extra dough, why not give Monday a makeover? We see an office party in your future, hosted by you. Hashtag happy face. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.